Welcome. Welcome into Mother Speak here on UK Health Radio every week. It's an unapologetic deep dive and occasionally stumbling journey into the mother energy, from mothering children to businesses to the wisdom of Mother Earth herself. This is a show where mothers meet to speak about all things that matter on topics across the board, from birthing babies, books, new projects, to parenting children, animals and oneself, plus all the conundrums of identifying as being a woman in this day and age. We are a community called together to co-author the book Wake Up Mother, and you can find more out about what we're doing on the website www.wakeupmother.com. Today it's me, Sarah Lloyd, from Indigo Soul PR and curator of the Wake Up Mother book, and I am joined by the magical immersive energy artist and writer Zoe Foster. It's just the two of us today. Hey Zoe.
Hey babe. We've got so much to talk about today, which we already started, haven't we, off air, so we thought we should get going.
So yeah, so now we've done the intro, I think we can kind of dive straight in. And
we were speaking into the mother wounds and scars and what that means, particularly in terms of showing up in circle, being scared to talk about what's coming up for us for fear of, you know, I guess taking up space. And like, yeah, let's start there.
It's all the things that, you know, we talk about in the book, but it's also all the things that we've spoken about when we were collaborating and writing the book. The big call to action was it had to be a weaving. We had to sit in circle. We had to just sit together on the floor. We were in Zoom, but you know, together as equals, and you know, listen, learn from each other, share wisdom. And I guess that's the thing, because one thing that came, I mean, we're both kind of in this situation where we're birthing the book Wake Up Mother, and she's live now. Actually, you can pre-order her, and she drops on the 2nd of February, which is very exciting. But there has been a process to follow. So, you know, everybody's contributed. We've had these amazing calls. We've written our chapters. We've topped and tailed the book. There's been editing. Fantastic editors at the Unbound Press have supported us all the way through. We've been held, supported, nurtured right to the very end. But being...
It's not the end yet.
No. And, you know, I met with the, you know, I met with the founder of the Unbound Press, Nicola, and I was like, oh, it seems to be going really well. And then all of a sudden, as is what happens, the universe decided to throw a couple of curveballs in for a few of us. And it just became very bumpy. But I guess that's the thing with birthing anything. It becomes bumpy. You just don't know. And I think you can be as prepared as you like. You think that you're prepared. You think that you've got this under control. But there's, you know, becoming a mother of anything, there's always bumps, right?
Surprises. I mean, God, our children, whatever form they take, they always surprise us, don't they? They think, oh, I've got this. I've done this before, maybe, you know, and it's always different every time.
I think that's, and I think that's where, I don't know about you, Zoe, but we were talking, I mean, yesterday, both of us were in a bit of a hot mess, to be honest.
Bit of a wobble, yeah.
But I think it's that, and we've talked about this as a collaboration, and I'm sure some of the other amazing contributors will speak into this too. It's that birth canal moment where you're having to push and pause and breathe, and it's exactly like, you know, giving actual physical birth. Not, I mean, I had cesareans, but it's that process of having to surrender massively to the process, but also know that you're not alone, even though it feels like you're the one doing all the work, which kind of how I felt yesterday. And I didn't feel like I could reach out to my circles, my trusted friends, and, you know, people that I regularly be on if I need some guidance or support or just someone to listen. I didn't feel like I could yesterday, and that's just so, it just interests me that there's such polarity or interest similarity with what you're doing when you're giving birth to a physical being, but also when you're giving birth to an actual project. And that's kind of what this is all about, because mothering is birthing and creative ideas, and it's that surrender. And I think I definitely wasn't, I needed that space to surrender into it. I don't know about you, Zoe.
Yeah, I feel that there's, you know, the like you said, there's this polarity, isn't there? And for me, that definitely speaks into, you know, my kind of doubt around, should I reach out? Should I voice this? Should I air it in circle, or even, you know, with one other person? Or should I just sit with it a bit longer? And for me, it's kind of impulsively, sometimes I will reach out and then I will regret reaching out because I'll feel really vulnerable and like, you know, as I said off air, like that person who's always kind of just like blurting stuff, like splurging stuff out, and then just like retreating back into her cave.
I mean,
like, here you go. I'm going back now.
I guess that's the thing. It's like, that's where we forget that, you know, the women that are sitting in circle with us are grown ups. You know, it's not like we're depositing, you know, our stuff and retreating. It's almost like, so for example, we share a collaborative group that was a result of Shakti Farts, our other collaborative book. And, you know, one of the ladies was sharing something completely into her vulnerability and shared a voice note. And I blurted out the same. And I was like, hang on a minute. It's, you know, you don't always have to be the one that's also having a problem. It's kind of, so I deleted the voice note, sat back and then realized that I just needed to listen, because the invitation was to listen and understand that actually there was at least four of us that were struggling with a similar problem.
Yeah.
And the advice was exactly what I certainly needed to hear the advice.
We all needed to hear it. I did too. Yeah.
And I think that's what's beautiful about the circle, is the fact that some of us will be going through some things and others will have the space to hold it and share wisdom or offer guidance or just listen. You know, I think that's the other beautiful thing, is that I used to be a massive control freak. Well, I still have that control freak tendency in me. I can't be a Virgo without it. But there is an element of, I need to allow whatever wants, you know, I needed to surrender to it. I just needed to listen and understand that the guidance that, you know, trust the guidance would come through. And it did. And, you know, plus the tears and, you know, speaking to somebody who had the capacity to hold my space. Well, I mean, through that, I think that's perhaps what we're, you know, I feel like I'm losing my thread a little bit here, but hopefully that makes some sense.
No, I think it absolutely does. You know, I think for me, I decided, much like you, was just to sit back and kind of take that wisdom on that the group were sharing and sit with that, as well as my own like resistance to sharing myself. And I think that is the beauty of beginning to, for women in particular, to have these spaces, whether they're actually physically there, you know, physically in person, physically on Zoom, physically on WhatsApp, whatever it is, or they're sitting in their own space, that belonging to something like that is so powerful on multiple levels. And it also brings me back to, you know, how much we have been denied this over the last, I don't know, 1,000 years or whatever, because we have been pitted against each other rather than allowing ourselves to hold space for each other and to sit in sacred sisterhood, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
And if I'm honest, you know, I still have that wound. We probably all do, right? We're still learning to not heal the wound exactly, but we're still learning to kind of live with the wound and grow from it, because
navigate it. I think, you know, it's like an alcoholic.
Yeah.
You've got like the, you know, as an alcoholic or someone who has addictive tendencies, you just have to taking a step forward, as long as you're aware of that behavior. And I think that for me, it's like, oh, that was the awareness where I deleted the message. It wasn't, I didn't delete the message because I kind of went into my 6-year-old grumpy self. Actually, it's not appropriate for me to jump on the bandwagon here. I'm going to delete the message and just wait. Mm. And I was fine. And I think that's, I feel like, you know, like you say, I think these, like, you know, this is a spiral we're kind of living, isn't it? I think we talked about this extensively on our calls. We're walking this spiral of life, and it's always going to keep coming up. It just comes up in different ways and different facets, I guess. So like you say, we're learning to live with it and grow from it. And just as you think you're getting used to it, it comes back up again.
Absolutely. And I think it's so interesting, because it comes up, you know, when we're on retreats, when we're all in Glastonbury, it was intensified on so many levels, wasn't it? It was kind of the really like absolutely massive feeling of feeling held by us all was intensified, but so were some of the things that came up, the differences, the, you know, the triggers, the kind of, and yeah, those deep wounds of like, what if nobody, you know, what if everybody else in this circle is actually like holding each other and I'm the odd one out still? That was mine. And I think that always will be mine, honestly.
Oh. I hate to pause, but I think we've got to pause for some adverts and some tracks and stuff.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll be right back to talk about the power of being in those spaces a bit more.
Like the rose. the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Oh, and we're back. This is Sarah Lloyd and Zoe Foster on Mother Speaks on UK Health Radio. And just before the ads, we were talking quite a lot about lots of different things, but primarily the mother wound that we are exploring, carrying, moving through, growing from, all of the things that come up as a mother or a woman. Not least, there's some bits and pieces going on in the news at the moment. I think there's quite a lot of women that are probably not very happy about at the moment, with the government not being very supportive of women. I know, Zoe, you wanted to share a little bit around that.
Yeah, so I will preempt this with, I don't follow the news. I don't read it, I don't watch it, but you know, it kind of comes into my consciousness through other ways. And yes, of course, I've heard about these proposed bills to support women in their menopause in the workplace. Mm. And they've been kind of denied completely by the government, and I just think it's disgusting. And I'm not going to say that I'm an expert on this at all, but I do want to speak into it, because I just think that in this day and age, for a woman's cycles and rhythms to be completely gaslit,
yeah,
to say that we should be able to fit into a masculine hormonal cycle and just deal with it, basically, you know. And I'm not talking just in terms of, yes, of course, menopause is massive, just as you wouldn't deny puberty in children, although schools don't deal with it well. That's a whole other issue. Let's park that. But women's cycles work on roughly 29-day rhythm. A man's cycle works on a 24-hour rhythm. And we are just expected, and we have been expected, to just deal with that and completely dishonor, not even acknowledge. You know, women are honestly only really beginning to understand or remember, yeah, what their cycles really mean, what it means to have different levels of energy, different moods. And I'm not talking about just like, oh, PMS, blah, blah, blah. You know, every single day of our 29 or whatever, you know, however many days your cycle is different for you because of where your hormones currently are. And just like a man's cycle, you know, they typically get up raring to go in the morning and they want to be productive and they want to get their all their work in the first half of the day, because after that they start to wind down. And this is why men fall asleep in front of the TV at night as well. It's, you know. And I just, you know, it's 2023, for goodness sake. And while men are out trying to biohack their way to superhumanness, women in the same kind of field, in the same kind of well-being field, are just basically trying to understand their hormones and yeah. what that means for the for them on a day-to-day basis and how it affects them, and trying also to get that to be heard in the external world and not poo-pooed or laughed at or, you know, scoffed at. And I just think it's disgusting, quite frankly. You know, if men had our cycles, it would be the other way around, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I do. I 100% would agree with that. And also, you know, being moving into that part of life, and also the fact that we're sitting in winter right now. And I think most people that I'm working with certainly are feeling the winter. They're, you know, it's not just our menstrual cycles, it's also the cycles and seasons of the of Mother Nature as well, right? Isn't it? It's the fact that we are,
yes,
you know, I have been struggling to get out of bed. My kids are the same.
Yeah,
we get energy when the sun's out. We're working with the circadian cycle, and we're
getting up in the dark. We're, you know, sometimes coming home in the dark, and it's completely out of rhythm with our human needs, quite frankly. Yeah. And we're also, the whole aspect of diving into January with, you know, new energy and all the rest of it is complete rubbish, because we're still in midwinter, you know? I mean,
and that's a societal, maybe the fact that we're still working a 9-to-5, a lot of people are working a 9-to-5 job, or are doing all the extra hours because technology enables us to. Maybe there's something there in that, you know, we're still working to a Victorian agenda. We're not doing...
We definitely are.
We're not working in factories anymore. Some of us are. You know, things have evolved. I just feel like perhaps the workplace needs to evolve to suit the evolution of technology, the evolution of, you know, women... I mean, there is a lot going on with regards to menopause and, you know, working in PR, there's been a lot of chat around awareness of menopause, which I think needs to be applauded.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, for me, that the one thing that I found interesting is it's always about synthetics and it's always about drugs that are created by big pharma, for want of a better word. Yeah. And is that always the right answer? You know, there is, for me... I'm a bit annoying in the fact that I want to look for different ways of doing things. And if there is a more natural way of moving through the menopause, and I've worked with clients who haven't gone through the HRT route, who haven't done that. They've worked with their cycles, they've changed their diets, they've, you know, gone out and done things a bit more naturally. And I think that's the thing, is that we're stuck in this society.
We want to fix things.
Going back to being a fixer again, it's like, oh, that's a problem to fix. Here you go. Here's a tablet. It's like, it's not always that simple.
Yeah. And I do believe it comes strongly back to the idea of treating humans as productivity factories. You know, we're not allowed to, for, you know, legal reasons, to put children out to work now before a certain age. But as soon as they come of that age, basically our life value is defined as how productive can we be in our, you know, in our best years, as it were. And when women fall off, you know, it's often seen as a cliff, isn't it? When women fall off the cliff of like menopause, they're deemed to be, quite often, they're deemed to be not of any more value. You know, that's like, okay, well, you know, take early retirement, you know, resign, whatever you need to do. But yeah, you're not really working for us anymore, are you? And I think at the same time, women also probably realize or have another awakening at that point of, well, what is my own value then? And that's so important, because if we're not having those questions much earlier in our lives, then menopause comes as a shock on not just a physical, you know, an emotional level, but on a spiritual level, we are, yeah, it can really rock us to our core. And I'm not there yet, I will say, but I can imagine being in that state where it feels like your body is just kind of falling apart, and you don't really know what to do with it. It's not working the way that it always has done, or you've always tried to allow it to. And everything is redefined for you, but mostly by the external world.
Yeah, that's definitely something that's come up for me. And I think we probably need to just pause again for another track and some adverts from our lovely sponsors, UK Health Radio. But I'd love to keep talking on this thread when we get back.
That makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good, good.
Oh, and we're back. This is Sarah Lloyd and Zoe Foster on Mother Speaks on UK Health Radio. This is what it's like to be a perimenopausal woman, in the fact that thoughts disappear. They come back, but you need the space to breathe.
Oh, I have that so much. Yeah.
And, you know, having a little hot, you know, a little surge of electricity from time to time means that, you know, everyone else is in -6 and you're in a t-shirt. It's kind of,
yeah,
you know, I'm beginning that journey, and you know, I'm embracing it. I want to embrace it, but I've also been explaining to my girls that I just need to stop a minute. They're having to learn to pause a little bit for me. I can't go at the 100-mile-an-hour pace that my kids want to go at a lot of the time. And I think that's important for women to explain that to.
It's so important, especially to, well, actually, I was going to say especially to preteen girls, but also to preteen boys, so that they can get a sense of, you know, so we're not perpetuating the world that we are already living in, basically, that our boys are learning about these cycles and rhythms and to actually honour them.
Yeah.
Even if they're not experiencing them directly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but in my 20s, well, even before that, I, you know, I took the pill. And
yeah, no, I, yeah, same.
I used to just forget, you know, power through, yeah, forget about it. And
same.
You know, I think I stopped taking contraception after my second daughter was born, because I wanted my, I didn't want to put anything else,
yeah,
in.
I was exactly the same. Yeah. So after I probably took the pill for, I think about 18 years, which is quite horrific when you think about it. There's a woman, I'm really sorry, I've forgotten her name temporarily, as you were just saying, Sarah. There's a woman who talks about menopause, perimenopause and all the rest of it. And the pill in particular, she refers to as female castration. And that's essentially what it is. It's a chemical castration. And, you know, if, again, you know, why is it women that are taking the pill? Why is it not men? And I know a male pill has been formed, I believe. But, you know, come on, let's look at the last, you know, 60, 70, whatever years of women taking this for decades and essentially cutting off their own natural hormonal production rhythms, cycles, just so that they can be a productive, quotes, and consistent, regular, structured, linear member of society. And we are not, as women. So we're trying to be like men. We are, in every sense of the word, chemically, we're trying to be like men.
Yeah. Square peg, round hole. It, you know, and we, the thing is, biologically, we just can't. And I think that the biology, you know, there's so many different conversations we can have about that. And I'd like, you know, I want to invite people that are qualified to talk about those sorts of things,
yeah,
to come on and chat with us. But there's just so many different ways that we can look into this and share this, because, you know, yeah, it's just something that perhaps we need to shine a light on. And you know, one thing that I've realised is, certainly before Christmas, you know, I was having those symptoms and flushes, and I was needing more space. I was needing to nap a little bit more. I was needing to give, yeah, myself, you know, space to go and walk, space to process emotions a little bit more so than I probably had done before that. So I knew, and I'm lucky enough to say that I have, you know, I'm working with clients and I work, you know, I work around my children. And, you know, I made that decision to make those changes when my little ones were very small. And now they're, yeah, in school, I can work around school, still be there, but also give myself that space that I need as a woman to honour those, you know, those peaks and those troughs, because there are weeks when I'm completely on it. And, you know, we're swimming and we're play dating,
yeah,
and we're doing all same, the things. And then there's weeks where I'm, this week, I'm like, sorry, guys, I'm really sorry. I just can't do it. And I think that whilst it appears to be erratic, but it is consistent with my cycle. I think
it evens out. This is what really bugs me, is it is the idea that you're being flaky or you're being unreliable. And actually, like you know, a couple of weeks ago when I was in my summer in my cycle, I was literally holding everything because my husband was sick. He was off work. He was literally in bed most of the time because he was so ill. And so I was doing absolutely everything, as well as all of my own work, all of my creative work, all of my admin, you know, and I was like, yes, powering through. But now I'm in my winter, and this week I've literally been, you know, in terms of that productivity kind of like value, I've been pretty useless. But I also know that, you know, I'm already coming in, you know, it's only been 3 days, for goodness sake, you know, 3 days out of the month. And I know that I am on the up again already. And that period where I was lying low and really not doing very much, I was restoring, I was replenishing, I was re-nourishing. And I know it sounds cliche, but if we don't do that, especially as women, then we can't do the hyper-productivity that we're so good at. Honestly, as women, we are so brilliant at juggling all the balls and keeping them all in the air and dancing on our tiptoes and cooking the meals. Do you know what? It's just like everything. I don't know a man who can do that consistently for more than a day or two, honestly. And my husband is brilliant. I definitely don't want to diss him. But yeah, I think as women, that is our superpower.
We are
one
we
of
are
them.
No, but it's true though. We are asked, as I have to speak, I mean, I want to just caveat that this is our personal opinion, and it's by no means, you know,
of course,
and it's kind of, you know, personal experience. I, as the primary caregiver, I've chosen to be the primary caregiver because I've made the choice to step away from the traditional nine to five role. But when I did, so I was doing a condensed, when I had my first daughter, I did a condensed 4 days into five. Now, I see this bill that's being passed around 4 days into five, or, you know, 4 days working weeks. I don't think it's ever going to work, because unless you have really, really good boundaries. And I think that's the issue that we have in society with the work as well. It's the, you know,
there's the expectation, isn't there? There's always an expectation of doing more.
Yeah. And I mean, my boundaries were violated a lot, but then it was my own fault sometimes for responding to emails, for example. So, you know, the plan would be that I would work 9 to 5, pick the kids up from nursery, put them to bed, and then I'd be on calls because I was working in the US.
Yeah.
So I'd work that like that, and I literally disappeared because there was nothing in there for me. It was work or children. And, you know, I'm not dissing either of those things because it was my choice to do that. And then we got to the Friday and I had an upset child. I was exhausted and didn't want to do anything. And then I'd still get emails. And you're kind of,
yeah,
how is this serving me? And I think that's the thing. It's like I realized over Christmas, it's like that moving into this new year and moving into this age of Aquarius and moving into another season of my life, I need to get even better at boundaries, even better at, you know, like creating spaces for clients, creating spaces for rest, you know, and, you know, rest.
Absolutely.
Not disappear, you know, that you as the individual, it's putting the oxygen mask on first situation. And unfortunately, we have been told or taught by society that we shouldn't actually do that, and that everybody else comes first and then we're, you know, the ones.
Honestly, the societal message is pretty much sod the oxygen mask, just get on with it, you know. And I really do feel that. And especially for women, our men are not particularly treated well either, though. You know, I see that in my husband and the kind of stuff that he has to put up with. And he's exhausted because he's carrying so much and he's expected to do so much. And they're so stressed. So, yeah, this is, you know, I'm not saying none of this is about, oh, just poor women. It's not treating any of us well, our current system. And I do feel that if we allowed ourselves, you know, that's what it takes, really, isn't it? It's allowing ourselves rather than waiting for somebody. Well, there is, and there's also, you know, it's very hard. Let's not beat around the bush. It's really, really hard to make that firm boundaried choice when everything in our society and our culture tells us, no, that's not allowed. You can't do that. You can't, if you're employed, you can't get a job if you behave in that way. You can't keep a job if you behave in that way. These are our rules. This is what's expected of you. And yes, as self-employed women, we have made that choice over the years. I don't know about you, but I've been self-employed since I was 26. And it's taken me probably the best part of that time until now, I'm 43 now, to actually begin to work in a way that really works for me. Because even at 26, I was so conditioned into what a work day should look like, even if you're self-employed, which is complete bonkers, right? If you're self-employed, you can do whatever you want, but you can't, because, you know, the rest of the world is set up in that way. So yes, there's a choice, but I do also believe that it's hard to make that choice and to stick with it. And at the same time, if more and more and more of us make that choice, then we can begin to live in a world that truly honours our needs.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like you say, if, yes, the government haven't supported the menopause bill, but from what I understand, it's down to the employer's discretion now. So what I would, maybe the course of action should be that women shouldn't stand for that and should be having conversations with their employers to make it so for them. It's that if you don't ask, you don't get situation, isn't it? I feel like there's an element of we're almost conditioned to not ask, to not push back and ask for something that suits us better. Not until we're right. I mean, I know people do it, and I often, it's when you're up against the wall about something. But, you know, why not have the conversation? You know, this is probably a bit disruptive, actually, but why not start having the conversations now? You know, ask for what you need. I mean, I think I was the first person to do the 5 into 4 thing. And if I hadn't have asked for it, I don't know if I'd have got it. They wouldn't have often willingly said, Sarah, you've just had a baby. Off you go. That doesn't happen. You have to ask for it and you have to understand what you're asking for. And I think at the time I didn't fully appreciate what I was asking for. And actually, it might have served me better to just do a normal working week at that particular time. Because the other beauty of my job at the time is that I was working from home. I had it's a flexible job. This was all before the pandemic. We were a video conference company. So we were ahead of the curve anyway, because we were all doing everything on video. So it's like, be careful what you wish for situation.
It's always a bit of a learning curve, isn't it? Because when we start to think about actually honouring our needs, it does take a lot of unpicking and trying things. And
a lot of energy.
I would say don't be scared of, you know, failing or getting it wrong, or, you know, even embarrassing yourself, for goodness sake, because this is how we learn. When we've tried to squeeze ourselves into a structure that doesn't work for us, but, you know, it's kind of, it's the known, isn't it? It's like we know this structure, so there's a safety and a security to it. And when you take yourself deliberately out of that and think, well, I'm going to start really like actually working with what I need, there's so much to actually begin to unpick for yourself and all of the little kind of the triggers that come up, right? I mean, there's so many. I don't know about you, but yeah, becoming self-employed has been such a ride. And I would say I'm only really beginning to actually fully enjoy it now, because all of those years I've been learning how to inhabit the space.
Yeah.
And always feeling like I had something external to prove along the way. And it's only really now that I'm actually just enjoying it for what it is, which is, for me, what becoming self-employed should be about, really.
I think also what just to add to that, becoming self-employed, I think there's a lot of people that are put off it because of all the, you know, the gubbins that goes with it, the back end stuff, the making sure you're legal, all of those things. But once you've kind of got through all of that stuff, if you find yourself, I mean, the thing that's really helped me is growing a community around me, you know, because everybody's through the tax returns, everyone's going through that kind of stuff, but then they're also going through, well, I'm thinking of this idea, should I do this? I mean, we're going back to the full circle of the original discussion we had, which is, you know, yesterday I was on my knees about a collaborative book that, you know, 2 years ago came to me, and now I'm like, why am I doing this? And then I realized you're just going full circle, and the reason why we're doing this is because we want to put a voice to these situations where we stop ourselves from doing stuff. And
we don't have to be the lone wolf, which is, again, has always been the myth perpetuated. I think especially if you're, you know, if you go self-employed, it is very much like, oh, you're on your own now. And I definitely felt that for a long time.
And the competition as well. That was when I first started out, there were others doing similar to what I did. And I wrongly saw them as competition. I realise now, I think the biggest nugget of wisdom that I have gathered over the last 5 years has been, it doesn't matter if they're doing the same thing as you. It means that what you're doing matters.
Absolutely. And actually, collaborating with those people can be some of the best magic ever.
Well, I think we're at the end of our show, and I just want to thank Zoe for like joining me today, and thank you for listening. And you can catch up on all the places, and we will also be uploading an unedited version, because we may stay on and chat, version to our own podcast, and you can find us on Substack under wakeupmother.com.
Substack.com, yeah.
There we go. And if you are curious to understand what Wake Up Mother's all about, you can pick her up now and pre-order her from Amazon and all the other good bookshops out there.
For $1.59.
No,
it's a bargain.
It's a steal. So thank you so much for listening. I'm Sarah Lloyd.
And I'm Zoe Foster.
And you have been listening to Mother Speaks.